for us a big announcement one day when we were kids, and he came home and said, we're going to watch movies at the house. I have this thing called a VCR. It was big time. So excited. It was technology at its finest. But there was a problem with the VCR because it was so high tech. We didn't know how to hook it up to a TV. You can imagine, that would have been quite the undertaking. There were like at least two cords coming from it. And you're like, where do you put these cords? So my dad had to invite someone from work to come to our house to plug this thing in and take care of us. You know, it's interesting the roles that people play in our lives. I don't remember ever seeing VCR guy. Again, like that was the one time he showed up, VCR, rescued the day, and I don't remember ever meeting him again. You know, we have people in our lives that do that. They pop in, they pop out. Sometimes they help us with something that we need. But what happens when life throws something at us that's a little bit more difficult than hooking up a VCR to a TV? Who helps out? In the days that things seem so pointless for us, when we've had maybe a rough week or even a rough month or a rough season, whether that be at the job, at the home, at school, who do you turn to? Who do you get encouragement from in a broken world? So let's be honest. We all have stuff on our plates, right? We all come in with issues, some brokenness. We have things that pile on stress. And so that makes life complex, hard to navigate. So what's the answer? Let's try to kind of figure some of these out as we walk through the passage. Before we get to 1 Thessalonians, I want to remind you where we're at in our series. We're doing a series about habits for committed followers of Jesus. And these habits are things that start out of a relationship with Jesus, a desire to pursue Him, a love for Him. We can look at, you know, we can do a series like this and say, all right, first thing you need to do is devotions. You need to attend church. You need to be generous. You need to get involved. We have this checklist, and we can look at this as a bunch of religious activities. We can fill our lives with it, and it has nothing to do at all with Jesus. That's not the point. We want to turn religious activity into relationship building. And so the foundation of what we're talking about with these habits is a relationship with Jesus and a desire to serve Him. So out of that, we're talking today about getting involved in a small group. We're in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul started a church there. And the things that he said to them, we're going to see the things that were true thousands of years ago are still true for us today. So we're in chapter 3. We're going to start in verses 1 through 4. So then, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. The first thing I want to point out here is that everyone has trials. So if you're taking notes, you can put that down. But there are also some other verses just right out of Thessalonians that I want to briefly read. It says, you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering. We boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So you can see here, trials, severe suffering, persecution. That was part of the experience there in the early church. It happened almost immediately after the church was started. So what's critical to understand is that these Jesus followers didn't magically just have an easy life after they said yes to Jesus. It's not how it worked out. So they had their regular life issues, the difficulties that, but when they said yes to Jesus, it made things harder for them. They had persecution and severe suffering that they didn't normally have. And so there's still an idea out there in our culture that when you say yes to Jesus, you trust him, life will get better. You know, trusting Jesus will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And there's just some problems with that. First of all, that's just not what the Bible teaches. And that second, it just doesn't match up with reality. Yes, there is a sense that when you trust Jesus, life does get better because you get Jesus through the difficulties. You know, a person's life is blessed, but not in a like worldly way, but in a spiritual way. Yes, the person can have an abundant life, but that is different from the American dream. And sometimes we as Americans tend to confuse what it means to follow Jesus and what that entails. Even Jesus, when we look at Jesus, his life was full of difficulties, trials, and suffering. And he said to his followers, he said, listen, if the world treats me this way, don't be surprised when they treat you the exact same way. So here what we see in the early church, hardships and persecutions. They had, and as we've read, severe suffering. It was like they were under pressure. Literally, the words here have to do with this pressure on them, like this weight that's just weighing them down. Like they could lose everything in a moment, just feel crushed. So what does Paul do? Knowing that that's what they're facing, he sent Timothy. Look back at verses 2 and 3, focused on Timothy here. So we sent Timothy, verse 2, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. And so Paul knew what they were going through. The trials could be unsettling. The trials could shake them to their core. And he didn't want them to give up or turn away from following Jesus. And these kind of things are called pivotal circumstances, like a fork in the road that could push someone one direction or another. We all face those kind of things. When life has all this pressure and you feel like you're going to cave, or there's major change in your life, or you've been hurt deeply. Those things are pivotal circumstances, and we can choose to turn to run towards Jesus or away from them. That kind of a pivot. And knowing what they were going through, Paul sent Timothy in these pivotal circumstances. What was Timothy's job? Verse 2 again. We sent Timothy, who is our brother, fellow worker, spreading the gospel of Christ, to do what? Strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Because they had these trials, Timothy was there to help them through, to give them some encouragement because they needed that, to help them be built up in the faith. That way they wouldn't be unsettled. They wouldn't give up. They wouldn't be moved from their faith. You know, relationships help us navigate through these dark times. They help us keep our heads above water. Paul knew these connections were necessary, and so he sent Timothy. They were necessary back then, and they're necessary for us too. Relationships are that critical because everybody has something that they're dealing with, whether it's family issues or sickness, finances, jobs, school. We're all carrying around burdens. We have doubts. We have fears. We all face trials in our lives. And that is something I didn't realize when I first got here. I mean, I knew that I had issues. I had stuff that I was dealing with. But you guys looked good. I mean, you still look good, you know. But it was one of those things where you see someone, you're like, well, they have it all together. I know certainly that I don't. But the more I've talked with people, I realize that everybody has something going on. Everybody has something that's weighing them down. Everybody has trials. And the second one is that everybody also struggles with temptation. We're going to be in chapter 4 here. Chapter 4, 1 through 8. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Verse 2. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this manner no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. Verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. And so Paul was writing to them about how to please God. He knew what God he knew that God wanted them to live a holy life. But they struggle, like we all do. They struggle with temptation. Sexual immorality was an issue in their culture. So Paul made sure that he let them know, here's what God's will is. Verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Be sanctified, which is a word that's very closely related to being holy. It's God's desire for his followers that they would live pure lives, to do what he wants. That's the goal. But life happens, right? And we are human, and we are going to struggle with temptation. I mean, we're going to struggle, we're going to be tempted to sin all the time. Even Jesus was tempted to sin, right? He's our model. And he said no to temptation. What helps with struggle, this kind of struggle that we face? Well, that's solid Christian relationships. You know, these kind of relationships, people can be there to help point the way to Jesus. So they say, here's what God wants. I'll encourage you. They can also be there when we fail, because we do that, right? And we need help getting back on track. People can help you do that. They can walk with you. The third thing is that everyone suffers loss. We're going to be in that same chapter. Just drop down to verse 13. It's going to talk about people falling asleep. That's not taking a nap. This is talking about people who've passed away. Verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus all those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. You know, one of the hardest things in life is losing someone that we love. You know, if you live long enough, it'll happen to you and it'll happen again. And again, you know, people in this church here in this passage, had lost people that they loved. And Paul said, listen, I don't want you to be like people who have no hope, because it can seem like a situation where someone passes, man, that seems so hopeless, because you're not getting them back. And Paul says, here are some truths that you need to know. You know, I did a funeral last Saturday, and that's what I like to point out at funerals. So there are certain things that bring comfort, that bring hope and encouragement in times of loss. And the truths of God's word do that. And so that's what I like to bring out, and like some real comforts, not something that just lasts a moment. And I like to talk out of John 11, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. So the truth that Jesus promises is eternal life for those who believe in him. And as this passage talks, just like Jesus died and rose again, people who die will be raised to new life with new bodies to be with Jesus forever. These are the promises that provide hope to those who go through loss, because everyone does. And verse 18 kind of wraps it up. There's encouragement there. We can encourage each other with these things. Beyond these truths, what I've noticed in times of loss are people showing up. You know, it's not easy when someone that you care about is going through loss. I've done this a lot. I go into a funeral home. I don't know what to say a lot of the times. But it's not about me saying something super spiritual. It's more about being there. And so you guys are valuable. When people go through loss, show up. Be there, because everyone suffers loss. So let's put this together. Everyone has trials. They struggle with temptation. They suffer loss. This world is broken. Fortunately, God knew there's a kind of a solution, a way to help us kind of navigate this world, and that's relationships. Look at what Paul says in chapter 5. We're in chapter 5. This is where we're landing the plane today. Chapter 5, verse 11. I'll read it twice. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. God commands us to encourage and build up one another. So the word encouragement here has to do with comfort, where you come alongside someone. The term build up, it literally is a housing term where you would build the house up from the bottom. So Paul instructed the church, hey, what I want you to do is make it a point to encourage and build up each other, because life takes it out of us. We get discouraged. We get torn down. And we need people in our lives that are going to speak hope, to be there for us. And we need to be people who are there for others when they are hurting as well. So understand that Paul wrote to this church so that they would learn to take care of each other. When you see these one another's, like encourage one another, build each other up, these are meant for Jesus followers to learn how to treat other Jesus followers. So if you're a Jesus follower, verse 11 says that you should make it a point to encourage other Jesus followers, to build up other Jesus followers. But it's not like, hey, you're not a Jesus follower, sorry, you only get discouragement from me. That's not the point. The thrust here is we need to learn how to treat our Christian brothers and sisters. We need to start acting like a family in a way that makes Jesus look good. We need to all be involved in this building up process. And so Paul was writing to the church. He said, you know, everybody needs to be a part of this. Everybody is supposed to encourage. And everybody needs to receive encouragement. That way no one slips through the cracks. No one has to carry the weight of the world on her own shoulders. Encouragement was so, so key. Everyone needed it, and everyone could give it. You know, as we talk about this, let's be honest, it's not easy, right? There are very few people that are just great naturally at encouragement. Think about it. How many can you name people in your life that you know, man, these people are just full of encouragement? So it's not necessarily a natural thing for us. How about on the other end? How many of you you're awesome at receiving encouragement? I talked with a drummer between the services, and he said, I started to give encouragement to guys at work, and they're like, what are you trying to do? Like, I don't know. This is weird. You're my boss. You should be telling me how bad I am. I mean, that's oftentimes what happens. We live in a broken world, and we get used to being torn down. We get used to negative talk. But Jesus followers are supposed to do life differently. We're supposed to be part of a solution and not part of the problem. So this isn't easy. I didn't say it was easy, but this is the expectation. But really, expectation isn't a great word. Because when you're expected to do something, maybe you kind of push away a little bit. That's something you have to do. If I have to do it, I don't want to do it. Okay? But it's better than a have to. It's a get to. This is an opportunity for us to get involved in something better. So this is a privilege that we get to share life in an encouraging way to each other. And so that's what these one another's are about. They're all over the New Testament, where we get to share our lives. We get to learn how to love one another. God wasn't trying to make our life more difficult. Here's another thing for the list. You got to encourage. You're like, oh, seriously. It's not trying to weigh down your life. You say, this is what this is part of what an abundant life is about. Doing life together, building each other up, encouraging each other. So these things don't always naturally happen. Some people are great at building these kinds of relationship. But at Hillside, what we do is we do have a program that's meant to kind of step into this, and it's called small groups. So small groups provide an opportunity to encourage and build up. Now, as we talked before, Sunday mornings like this, not a great time to really do this well. I mean, you can touch base, you can catch up a little bit, but to do life together, to hear the what's going on, this isn't built for that. And so that's where small groups come in. Small groups are meant to meet regularly, to share what's going on in your life, to encourage, pray for each other. You get to know those in the group and about their learn about their trials, their temptation, their loss. Now, small groups aren't perfect. You know why? Because people are there. Okay? Anytime you involve people, it's going to be messy. It's going to be difficult. People are hard to get along with. But this kind of thing is well worth it. You get to be there for people, and they're there for you. You know, in my group, even just this last week, we carved out time, and I got to share something that I'm going through currently. And my group encouraged me. They offered some advice of what was going on, and it was great to be able to kind of share the weight that I was carrying. You know, they're special people to me, and it's a privilege to have them in my life. And my encouragement for you is to get involved in a small group for your good and that you can help others. Now, I realize that as we talk about this, there's still some resistance to doing that. Now, do you have to officially be involved in a Hillside-sanctioned small group or else, you know, it's a check mark? No, you don't. But if you're not in that, who is doing this for you? Who is stepping into the gap to help you bear some of the burdens that are in your life? Who's praying for you? Who knows what's going on in your life, and who are you doing it for? Again, it doesn't have to be here, but to be biblical and to do this thing well called life, you need to be involved with other people in relationship regularly. Because if you're not, you're missing out. And they're missing out on what you have to offer. So a few action steps quickly before we close. First is to show up, lift up, and build up. Show up to small group, learn to lift people up, and build them up as well. Now, unfortunately, the timing of this message isn't very good because small groups have just kind of ended for the season. Hey, join a small group, although we're not doing any. You know, it's just where we're at. Come September, we'll start them back up. But it's still an opportunity as we talk about these things. The thrust has been encouraged. try to find those relationships. And they can be difficult even over the summer, but touching base with people and helping them, encouraging them, making sure that you're doing your part to bring light into a dark world. And the second thing is very specific to encourage one person this week. You know, people all around you are starving for encouragement. We don't do this really well. I'm not very good at it. There are times where I'm like, okay, this is like, I'm going to do it once a day. I'm going to step it up. I mean, big time, you know, make one encouragement per day. And I'm like, man, I'm really bad at this. I'm not getting this done. Make it a point to pay attention to you and how much you encourage and how much encouragement you get. My guess is it's just not a whole lot going on. So as Jesus followers, we have this opportunity, again, to bring light into dark places because people are longing for the encouragement that you have. So look for opportunity to say something meaningful. Because we're meant to do life together. You can be a difference maker in someone's life. You can help people through difficult times. You can point them to Jesus. You can encourage others, and they can do it for you. All this brings much glory to God. I'm going to ask Amanda to come on up to share her experience with small group, and then we'll close in prayer.
But we moved back to Bellwood. I love the Tyrone Church, and I had no plans of switching. It was hard enough to get the family out the door into church on time, so 2 weeks later, here we were in Bellwood. When I first started attending, I would put my head down and beeline straight for the back rail because I didn't want to connect. I didn't feel... I wasn't ready. A few months into attending, the message was about joining a small group, and I thought, just maybe this might be for me. But I had excuses. I had kids and their activities. I had a husband that worked evenings. I had every excuse not to get here. But as luck would have it, there was a small group that met Wednesday nights while the kids could attend kids' church. Obviously, someone was trying to send me a message and that I needed to join this group. So I gave it a shot, and of course, I loved it. We laugh, we cry, we talk, and even sometimes get through a couple of the small group questions. We derail a lot, even though our fearless leader tries his hardest to keep us on track. Joining small group has given me a sense of belonging and connecting. I may still sit in the back, but I like the company back there. But I do seek out those from my small group, and I think of them often, and I pray for them, and I get strength and encouragement from them. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're grateful to be able to open up your word and see how things were done thousands of years ago, and see the parallels today. You know, there's still struggle. There's difficult times. There's loss and temptation. And in the midst of that, you want us to be there for each other, to help pick up pieces, to help bear burdens, to encourage and build up. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be biblical, to step forward for your glory, to do things because we love you and love others. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.